one can, I mean, because of the various economic factors impelling someone to cross or not cross the line, mm-hmm. Depending on, you know, strike funds or whatever. I just don't find an equal weight.
And I suppose the answer to that is, you know, anything's theoretically possible, I suppose.
Well, no, but it's clear that it helps you if they come back to work.
Yes.
I mean, that's conclusion. I mean,
by your actions, you're actively helping
exactly
us
right.
win the battle.
But to conclude that they abandon the union position, they weaken the union position, that's clear. But I don't know that one can conclude that they have sided with the position of the employer.
Well,
that's
the assumption would have to be we still support the union's bargaining proposals while at the same time on a day-to-day basis actively engaging in work for the company.
Well, economic self-interest sometimes trumps where your heart might lie in another way.
Perhaps,
arena.
Again, from the company's perspective, though, the company's interest is seeing its own active employees at work when the company needs them most during economic warfare. So, thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you. All right. Ms.
Tadwell? On that last point, supporting whether they supported the company's position, they certainly abandoned the union, but they are in the best position to hold out against the company's contract proposals because they have money in their pocket. They're making money, and they can go in there and vote at those meetings and vote down that contract if it's not a good one. But all this is sort of goes beyond the first issue, is whether there's any record evidence of any reason for drawing the line where they did, which there is not. I also want to go back to Judge Sykes' question about partial lockouts. Bally Blinds and Laclede Gas, even the board admit, establishes the law. It's cited in the board's decision. And that says it is settled that the board recognizes the legality of partial lockouts when, one, justified by operational needs, and without regard to union membership status. There is no evidence in this case that it was justified by operational needs. And, in fact, six of them, weren't back there working at all, and they didn't get locked out. Second, the board incorrectly reads union membership to mean union affiliation, and they said, oh, we didn't require them to resign in order to come back to work. But we know long ago in Erie Resister, in the progenitor of that case, that union membership and affiliation includes union activities. If anything, this is exactly drawing a line on the basis of extent of participation in Section 7 activities. And that is what this act was intended to protect. I urge you not to be, you know, sidestepped by all of these other kinds of issues, which are really not issues in this case. If I could just finish the thought with Judge Sykes's question, all lockouts are not illegal because the board has recognized safety issues. Schenck was a safety issue. General Portland was a safety issue. Permanent replacements. Need to keep the operation going. All these things which are legitimate and substantial business reasons, not ones that are done to intimidate the employees. Thank you.
All right, thanks to all counsel. I want to commend all counsel on the quality of briefing in this case. I was speaking for myself, was consistently high, and I appreciate that. All right.